Srihad Bhadam. Very powerful. Manaha. The mind. Vidyat. For one should know. Vaya Indriya. Of both groups of senses. Nayakam. The leader. Panchalaha. The kingdom named Panchala. Pancha. Five. Vishyaha. Sense objects. Yat. Of which. Madhye. In the mist. Navakam. Having nine apertures. Puram. The city. So translation, the 11th attendant, who is the commander of the others, is known as the mind. He is the leader of the senses, both in the acquisition of knowledge and in the performance of work. That's Gyan Indriya, Karma Indriya. The Panchala kingdom is that atmosphere in which the five sense objects are enjoyed. Within that Panchala kingdom is the city of the body, which has nine gates. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada. The mind is the center of all activities and is described here as Brihad Bhola, very powerful. To get out of the clutches of Maya, material existence, one has to control the mind. According to training, the mind is the friend and the enemy of the living entity. If one gets a good manager, his estate is very nicely managed. But if the manager is a thief, his estate is spoiled. Similarly, in his material conditional existence, the living entity gives power of attorney to his mind. As such, he is liable to be misdirected by his mind into enjoying sense objects. Srila Ambarish Maharaja therefore first engaged his mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. When the mind is engaged in meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord, the senses are controlled. This system of control is called Yama. Hare Krishna. What happened? Something fell. And this means subduing the senses. One who can subdue the senses is called a Gosami. But one who cannot control the mind is called a Godas. The mind directs the activities of the senses, which are expressed through different outlets as described in the next verse. So, Brihad Balam Mano Vidyahan Upayendriya Nayakam Panchala Pancha Vishayha Yadma Jainavakam Pradam. So Omaganath Vidanda Shah Vidanjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. So it's described by Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter. Chanchalahi Manaha Krishna Pramati Balabhadratam Tashaham Nigraham Manye Vayor Iva Shadushkaram. Krishna has explained to Arjuna in the 6th chapter the yoga process. And of course, the yoga process that Krishna has described is more or less the Ashtanga yoga process. That is Yam Niyam Asana Pranayam, Pratyahara, Dharana, Jhana, and Samadhi. I'm not going to describe what each thing means. But anyway, and then at the end of this description, Arjuna says, this system you have described is very difficult, and then the verse I just quoted, he says, the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and more difficult to control than the wind. And then Krishna answers that particular objection by saying, by constant practice and detachment, one can bring the mind under control. And in other places, Krishna says that Mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. And so the mind is also considered the sixth sense in the Bhagavad Gita. Manasheshtani Indriyani Prakritishtani Karshati. So the question is how to control the mind, how to become a Goswami. Of course, in India you have people who are called Goswamis, who are not Goswamis, who are Godasas. And there's this hereditary caste in India. Many of these persons in the hereditary caste, their ancestors were originally followers of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. The original pujaris of the main temples of Vrindavan actually were the Goswami caste, or they were called Goswami because they were taking care of the temple, or the temples. And you're like Radha Govinda, Radha Shamshundra, all these different temples. And originally, all these temples owned the majority of land in Vrindavan. Just like all of you know about Loy Bazaar. Loy Bazaar is where you all go shopping in Vrindavan. And of course, Prabhupada said, Loy Bazaar, Krishna is everywhere in Vrindavan except for Loy Bazaar. Krishna said that, Prabhupada said that, because devotees would spend all their time, rather than hearing and chanting when they went to Vrindavan, shopping. That is the old-time version of a mall. So you have malls here, and India, they have so many malls. So anyway, Loy Bazaar was owned by the temple, particularly Radha Damodar temple, owned the majority of Loy Bazaar. So what happened through the ages is that the Goswami caste people, they sold property for their own sake. Many of them sold property to send their kids to the West to go to the university. Many of them sold property just to make money from it. And now the property is no longer owned. The majority of property is no longer owned by the temples. So these are the Goswamis. And to this day, not to criticize, but many of them are making propaganda that ISKCON devotees can't be bona fide gurus because they're not born in Brahmin families or Goswami families. And they even quote, take some quotes out of context from the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami in the Hari Bhakti Vilas was mainly trying to attract Brahmins to Krishna consciousness, so he integrated some injunctions that are not really necessary for us, but they were necessary to attract Brahmins. For example, one thing it's mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas is don't eat carrots. Does anyone eat carrots here? I eat carrots. Prabhupada ate carrots. We love carrots. They're good for the eyes. So, the reason that they picked that particular injunction is there was some injunction in one of the Vedic literatures that the carrots that they have in India, the red ones, they're the bones and the blood of sages. You've probably heard this before. No? That's where they got that particular injunction. Because in India, people get into all these different rituals, and so in order to attract people, sometimes we have to do these rituals. Otherwise, people won't take us seriously. For example, when Prabhupada installed the deities at Krishna Balaram Mandir, he had all the ritualistic brahmanas do their rituals, but Prabhupada said that the real installation was accomplished by the Harinam Kirtan, not by the rituals. So sometimes for preaching, we have to adjust the presentation. Whether we're preaching in the West, sometimes we adjust the presentation one way. We're preaching in India, then you better learn all the mudras to impress people. But Prabhupada never did those things. I mean, I was with Prabhupada when he did deity worship. He never did the mudras. Very simple. RT Prabhupada did. Very, very simple. So, but sometimes for preaching. Preaching is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Of course, purity is the force, but preaching has to be there. So, anyway, so sometimes these Goswamis make propaganda that none of us devotees born outside of Bharat Bhasha, especially those devotees who are not born in Brahmin families, can become gurus, and sometimes they even come and reinitiate some of the ISKCON devotees with that particular philosophy. In any case, a Goswami is one who controls the senses. So how do we control the senses? With the mind. So how do we control the mind? Of course, the example is given in the Gita of the chariot. You have the chariot metaphor where the chariot is the body and the five horses are the senses and the reins. I think everyone knows what a rein is. Is the ropes to control the horses are the minds, and the driver is the intelligence. So this is very interesting. And of course, the passenger is us. So we're just sitting there, and generally the horses are just taking us in any damn direction they want to go. For example, one time I was on an ISKCON farm, and I thought I would go horseback riding. I thought, you know, because when I was young, like a little kid, they would take me on these little horses and go around in circles. So I thought, oh, there's a nice horse. So I jumped on the horse's back. And guess what? The horse took me about 5 kilometers away. And I kept saying, whoa, whoa. And the horse said, no, I'm taking you where I want to go. And so finally I had to, true story. It's a true story. I was scared. Finally, somehow or other, I jumped off the horse and ran away. So that's like the senses, you know, they just like take you anywhere and you say, whoa, whoa, and it doesn't work. So that was my experience with horses. So I never go on a horse again after that experience. In other words, I never trust the senses again. Interesting example. So then, anyway, going back to the metaphor which Krishna gives and Prabhupada gives, and that's from the Vedas, that the driver is actually the intelligence. So what is the intelligence? In other words, the mind is controlled by the intelligence. So what is the intelligence, actually? And where does the intelligence come from? Well, in the 15th chapter of the Gita, we are informed where the intelligence comes from. Comes from the super soul, right? Matak, smritir, jnanam aponam cha. I give you remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. So, in other words, super soul is giving you intelligence to be a rascal if you want to be a rascal. Let's say I want to be a rascal. Let's say I want to forget Krishna. Let's say I want to be a mundane scientist and come up with some atheistic theory. Guess where that theory comes from? Krishna. You understand? Atheism comes from Krishna. Because how will they get intelligence how to be atheists? And you find some atheists that are so sophisticated, it's bewildering. They write books about atheism. Of course, they're more or less like Kamsa, who was dedicating his whole life to killing God, and then was thinking of God more. So the atheists think of God more than I do. Isn't it? They think in a negative way. Because when you think in a hateful, negative way, that's you think more about it. That's why we shouldn't have any enemies in this world. Because if you hate someone, that person is living in your heart. We were talking about this last night. How a devotee, at least a Majjhimadhikari, anything more than a Kanishthadhikari, doesn't have any enemies. Because as soon as, let's say, if I hated someone here, then I would be thinking of them all day and night. Let's say I like Ramchandra, but anyway, let's say if I hated him, I was thinking, Ramchandra. I'd go to sleep thinking about him, I'd wake up thinking about him, like Kamsa. Right? That's why it's good not to have an enemy, because you live with your enemy when you have an enemy 24 hours a day. Think about it. So, getting back to the point of intelligence. So Krishna gives intelligence according to our desire. So the whole point, is to have the right desire. How do you have the right desire? By good association. Because as it's described that Brahmanda Brahmate Konna Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Gajvish, that we're wandering around this material world and we're having so much bad association. As Lord Chaitanya says, the quality of a devotee is a satsanga vaishnava chara. He renounces bad association. Chaga. Asatsanga chaga. Chaga. Yeah, chaga. asatsangachagai vaishnavachar. He renounces bad association. And a devotee takes good associates, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha. So everything, we reflect. Our heart is like a mirror. We reflect whoever we are associating with. And association doesn't mean just sitting in the same place. It means eating certain food cooked by certain people. Like Grandfather Bhishma, he became contaminated just by eating food in Duryodhana's kitchen. And the Mahabharata, it describes that he became possessed by demons. And the Mahabharata, it actually describes that. The demons, at one point, told Duryodhana that we're going to possess Bhishma. And they did, because he was eating impure food. If someone eats impure food, then they lose their caste, basically speaking. Or you can become possessed. There's so many things. So the whole point is good association, and of course, by good association, we have Prabhupada here in his books, and then the right desires arise in the heart. And when the right desires arise in the heart, Krishna gives good intelligence. As Krishna says, you know, to those who are constantly devoted, then I give them intelligence. Tesham satyam yuktanam bhajatam prithivorvakam dadami buddhi yogam. There's that word for intelligence in Sanskrit. Buddhi yogam. That means the intelligence that connects us with Krishna. That's exactly what buddhi yoga means. Yoga means connection. There's yoga and viyoga. And buddhi means intelligence. So then we get good intelligence, and then we can control the mind. And so then the intelligence is able to dictate to the mind, even though the mind is saying so many things, do this, do that, accepting, rejecting things on the basis of sense gratification. I'll give you a practical example in my own life. Everybody knows I follow a pretty strict diet, right? You know, I don't eat pizza or anything, which happens to be everybody's favorite. Many times I'm doing programs and I say, what's your favorite food? And even if it's in India or China or Japan, everybody loves pizza to those. So anyway, so let's say someone puts a pizza in front of me. He says, Maharaj, here is a pizza. Then the mind is saying, go for it. Good. Eat. Because the mind is like the primitive aspect of the brain, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. It's like the primitive brain, the animal brain. Just like a dog. The mind's like a dog. When a dog sees something, it either eats it or passes urine on it to mark its territory or has sex with it. Isn't it? Or the dog may kiss you too, because it wants you to do something for it. But anyway, that's primitive mind. You know, fight, flight, sex, all these other interesting things. So that's how the mind functions. So anyway, so we see a pizza, the mind says, eat. You can do it just this once. Do it. And the intelligence, my intelligence says, what is best for Prabhupada's service? You want to live or die? You know, because actually, with diet, sometimes it's like that. You can kill yourself with food. I mean, especially as we get older, I think many of us are realizing that, that we're suffering due to what we did, what we ate 20 years ago, or 30 years ago. Those of you who are young may not realize that until you get to be my age. Then you see, oh my God, I shouldn't have done that when I was young. Anyway, So that we look at it, and the intelligence and the mind are having this whole discussion. The mind is saying, do it. The intelligence is saying, what would be pleasing to Prabhupada? What would be, keep your life, keep your soul and your body a little while longer, so you can serve Prabhupada? And the mind is saying, but that just once, not going to hurt you. Because just once turns out to be many, many times, isn't it? I mean, one time. You can make an exception today. Of course, it's like an alcoholic. Isn't it? An alcoholic's not supposed to drink even one drop. I'm not a pizza-holic. Don't worry about that. That would be funny. You know, Pizzaholics Anonymous or something like that. Like they have Alcoholics Anonymous. So anyway, so then the intelligence basically after a while just says, shut up! And that's what you have to do. Keep quiet. And the mind says, okay, I'll behave myself for today. And then it's this constant dialogue. Even if one becomes very advanced in devotional service, it is a constant dialogue. Like we hear in the Upadeshamrita, Vacho Vegam, isn't it? Manasa Krota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udrapasha Vegam. So even if someone is on a high level, there's this still the mind and the senses. It's not that one is like under anesthesia all the time in Krishna consciousness. You know, anesthesia, of course, that's what they give you when you go to the doctor, to the dentist. You know, if you have your tooth pulled, then they have to give you a shot. It's called Novocaine. So one, to be strong in Krishna consciousness, you have to make your intelligence strong enough to control the mind. Ekeha kudanandana. Vyavasayatmika buddhir. Ekeha kudanandana. You have to be one-pointed like that. What is my goal in life? You have to remind yourself all the time, what is my goal? Keep good association, keep the good desire. Keep good sadhana to keep the good desire. And then you can control the mind. It is not an easy thing. It is not an easy thing to control the mind. You know, because as soon as you become a little complacent and say, all right, my mind's under control, the mind says, whoopee, he's let his guard down. And then, whack, you got it. So anyway, so this is how you become a Goswami, control the senses. And all of us, even though we may not be sannyasis, some of you may not be sannyasis, especially you ladies, you're not going to be taking sannyas, at least for the next few years. Hopefully not. You can be Goswami in reality. And that takes strength, intelligence, association, as we just mentioned. So anyway, so these are some hints on how to be Krishna conscious. The mind, Prabhupada says, is a thief, basically, in this purport. So we have to be always watch out. Just like recently we had a theft in the Suva temple. Did you know about this? Tremendous theft. They broke into the office, even though there was cameras, alarm, everyone was sleeping during. It's interesting. The alarm went off and everybody was sleeping. So sometimes the alarm, Krishna conscious alarm, goes off in our mind, we're all sleeping. And the thief went in, even though the cameras took pictures of him, useless. So in the same way, that is our mind. As soon as we sleep, we'll ignore the alarm and the mind will steal away our Krishna consciousness. So, on that happy note, any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems? It's nice to be here. It's such a nice temple, nice atmosphere. I feel like I'm back home when I'm here. So, no questions? Anjana Sutta, any questions? Lord Ramchandra, any questions?
How does one get rid of hatred and malice and anger?
That's a good one. Yeah, because that was a topic I brought up also last night, but you weren't there. So, Kanishka Adhikari sees Krishna in the temple. At least he understands. He doesn't have full realization, obviously. But he understands God's in the temple. As soon as he walks out of the temple, no God. It's just like, it's my world. It's like that story I told last night. There was a movie where there was a prostitute. She was only pious on Sunday. And the rest of the week, because Sunday is God's day in the Christian church. She was Italian. And they're very pious in Italy. So anyway, on Sunday she was a very pious, religious person. The rest of the week she was nonsense. So that's a Kanishka Adhikari. We're in the temple, we offer our obeisance, we ring the bell, oh, jai, jai, Radhagovindaji. Then we walk out, God's not anywhere else. He's not in your heart. He's not in every atom. So a Kanishta is a neophyte because he likes to fight. Neophyte. So, it's a play on words. But when you come to a higher platform of devotional service, you hear enough that God is in everyone's heart, then you see everybody as a temple of God. Right? Even your enemy. Even Kamsa had God in his heart. As I said, he was meditating more on God than me. So he had God in his heart. So, of course, we don't follow directions of Kamsa, but there's no need to hate him. The second-class devotee, he avoids the envious, but he doesn't hate the envious. There's a difference between the two. Because he sees God's in their heart. They simply have intelligence, had bad intelligence, which they wanted, and God's giving them intelligence. He's giving them, they have free will. And they're suffering. So to answer your question, the point is to see God in everyone's heart. And you have to hear. Hear about it enough times. God is in your heart. God is in everyone's heart. And as soon as you get some realization on that, you can't hate anybody. Because they're simply suffering in this world, and they're simply a temple of God. I mean, I say everybody here is a temple of God. Yeah.
So is your answer that we somehow have to train ourselves to see God?
Yes. And even though the mind, in other words, come to the intelligence platform, the mind is saying, I hate you. But the intelligence has to say, shut up. Because the mind goes through it. Because why do we hate people? Because they interfere with our sense gratification. Why do we have enemies? Because we think that someone is capable of interfering with our sense gratification. But nobody is capable. Just like Dharma the bull being tortured by Kali. He didn't consider Kali to be his enemy. Didn't point out Kali as the ultimate cause of his disturbance. Ultimately, he was pointing out it's Krishna. So no one can do anything to me without Krishna's approval. So that doesn't mean Krishna should be your enemy. You know, why did Krishna do that? He's my real enemy. Anyway, Prabhupada said if you have to have an enemy, it should be Krishna. Because at least you'd be thinking of him 24 hours a day. Unfavorably, but thinking of him like that. So yes, we have to make the intelligence strong, so each time the mind says, I don't like that person, the intelligence should say, that is not pleasing to Krishna. Your goal of Krishna consciousness is to love Krishna and see Krishna in everyone's heart. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vana pashati. Sarva bhutesha chatmanam tato navigya gupshate. That's this Upanishad. It says, one who sees Krishna everywhere and sees everything in Krishna does not hate anyone or anything. So, in other words, become Majjhimadhikari. If you're still going through this friends and enemies stuff, or enemies stuff, that means you're still on some sort of a Kanishta level, materialistic level, which is means you're almost a devotee, Vaishnava Praya. You're a devotee, yeah, but you're just like on the edge right there. So we have to come to the platform of seeing Krishna everywhere and everything. Krishna says, one who sees me everywhere, sees everything in me, is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. And that's a hard thing. It's a challenge. It really is a challenge when people attack you. I mean, even in my position, I get people attacking me. Of course, not physically usually, but on the GBC, on the internet, you know, you get attacked. Just like there's one magazine that people put out every month, they call it Back to Prabhupada, in which they attack their favorite guru of the month, isn't it? You see the magazine? Actually, many issues I was looking for information about myself in it, and I couldn't find it, and I was getting disappointed. So I wrote to them, please, criticize me in the next issue. And they did. So, yeah, because, I mean, just actually it's worse than being criticized is for people not to pay attention to you. Right? At least you know you've made it when people are criticizing. So, in any case, yeah. So therefore, anyway, they're criticizing, so I just have to consider them like Krishna arranging this for my own edification, and I have to develop compassion for them and love them in spite of that. If you could love your enemy, and of course, Yudhisthira Maharaj was called Ajata Shatru because he never considered, or his enemy was never born, he never considered anyone to be his enemy. Whereas Bhimsen was the opposite. So we don't want to follow Bhimsen's example. Because he was like a trampled serpent. You understand? After the attempted disrobing of Draupadi, he was breathing, eating, sleeping, killing Duryodhana and Duryodhana 24 hours a day, wasn't he? He was just dreaming when he could rip open Duryodhana's chest, drink his blood, and also break the thighs of Duryodhana. Don't be like that. He's not a good example. He's a pure devotee, I understand. But he's not a good example for you. Be like Yudhisthira Maharaj. And Arjuna was also the same. Arjuna didn't hate anybody. And Krishna doesn't hate anybody either. Samaham sarvabhuteshu name dvesho stinapriyaha. Okay, any other questions? Questions, comments? I guess we should end class. Time for prasadam, or else you all hate me if I hold you up from prasadam in school and work and everything. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to His divine grace.